United States v. Wachowa.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court.
Counsel.
My name is Kelly Watzka. I'm an Assistant United States Attorney from the Eastern District of Wisconsin, and I represent the United States in this matter. Your Honors, two of the goals of sentencing are to achieve consistency between similarly situated defendants and to ensure that the sentence imposed reflects the seriousness of the offense actually committed by the defendant. If those goals are to be achieved, then a sentence of 70 months in a receipt of child pornography case cannot withstand reasonableness review, given the fact that the defendant's advisory guideline range was 121 to 151 months, and absolutely nothing in the record meaningfully distinguishes Mr. Wachowiak as a defendant or mitigates the offense that he actually committed. Judge Adelman exceeded the outer limits of sentencing discretion created by Booker when he imposed a sentence 51 months below the advisory guideline range.
What was the outer limit?
Well, Judge, that's a tough question to answer.
What if the sentence would have been 100 months here?
Judge, the government's position in this case is that the only range of reasonable sentences for an average offender like Mr. Wachowiak was the guideline range.
And so in your view, the guidelines are really mandatory in a case like this?
Judge, I don't think they're mandatory. I think on the facts and the record before this court, it is very, very difficult to justify a sentence below the presumptively reasonable guideline range. And that is because the factors that Judge Adelman relied upon in this case are present in most, if not most, child pornography offenses, in many, if not most, white-collar offenses. The defendant's lack of criminal history, the fact that he was educated and employed, that he enjoyed the support of his family and friends, that he had expressed remorse for his offense, and that there were collateral consequences, such as the loss of his job, that resulted from his criminal conviction.
So I understand that the government's position here is that even a sentence of 1 month below the guideline range would be unreasonable.
Well, Judge, now, I know that doesn't say, it may seem like a distinction without a difference, but there's a reason why the guidelines are in this case should be presumed reasonable, and I submit to the court that the government's position is that the sentence.
I'm not saying it would not be reasonable to be sentenced within the guidelines, but that doesn't mean it would be unreasonable to go below.
And I understand that is this court's holding, is that there are sentences below and perhaps above the guideline ranges that can be deemed reasonable, that there may be a range of reasonable sentences available to a district judge in any number of cases. But in this case, the record created by Judge Adelman does not support that kind of variance.
What factors do you think could take it below the guidelines?
Would take it below the guidelines in a case like this?
There ever be any factors that could take it below the guidelines?
I suppose if the defendant had self-reported before he was ever caught, that's the example that might come to mind in a case like this. If when Mr. Wachowiak had...
That's a pretty rare occurrence, isn't it?
It is a rare occurrence. I've had it happen, believe it or not in the context of a child porn case, but I have had it in the context of drug cases and other cases where a defendant says,
any,
I got a problem.
Illegal reentry cases?
Yeah. Not in my experience, Your Honor. That is a tough question to answer, Your Honor.
I think it's tough because this gets back to what Judge Evans was saying. The government's position, at least as we see it day in and day out before this court, is you've got to use the guidelines.
I understand, and perhaps this court believes that we sound like a broken record when we stand in front of you and do that, but I think that really there's just absolutely nothing extraordinary about this particular defendant, and yet his offense was a very serious offense. And while Judge Adelman issued a lengthy decision, and he appropriately followed the procedural framework that this court has set up by checking off each of the 3553A factors, I think that there should be some qualitative analysis that this court must do to see whether the substance of what Judge Adelman has said really comports with the meaning and the principles behind the 3553A factors.
And how does that comport with the deferential nature of reasonableness review? Sounds like a substitution of appellate judgment for sentencing court judgment.
And I understand that this court is appropriately reluctant to substitute its judgment for that of the district courts. If I'm not mistaken, every member on this panel was at one time or another a sentencing judge. When the framework is...
Pre-guidelines.
State court
no
for
guidelines
me.
For Judge Sykes. And pre and post.
But I understand that this court doesn't want to be in the business of sentencing. But if reasonableness review is to have meaning, I think there has to be some qualitative analysis and some look at what it is, the substance of what it is the judge is saying. And in this case, Mr. Wachowiak presents as just a run-of-the-mill average child pornography offender who committed a very serious offense. And I think that when you look at the totality of the circumstances, the totality of the factors that Judge Adelman cites in his decision, that's what jumps out. There's just nothing extraordinary about this defendant. And yet he was entitled, at least in Judge Adelman's view, to a 42% reduction in his sentence. And that is a substantial variance. To put it in context, that is certainly more than the average defendant who comes in and cooperates with the government and agrees to testify perhaps against co-defendants or puts his life in danger by cooperating with the government. 42% reduction in sentence is more than that kind of a defendant might receive. So the variance in this case is substantial and it's meaningful. And justifying that kind of variance, I think, or at least from the government's perspective, should rest on more than factors common to most child pornography offenders. And that's not just the government's view. I think that this court has recognized that in cases like De La Rose. In De La Rose, we had an attorney, a defendant, who made arguments about his lack of criminal history. He made arguments about the collateral consequences to his career. He had to surrender his law license. And this court rejected the notion that that was meaningful enough to take him outside of the advisory guideline range. And it did so appropriately because, in every case, it's a natural consequence that there will be collateral consequences of a criminal conviction. That's an expected result. There's nothing unique about that. And of course...
I'm sorry, this was a single count indictment?
In the present matter, Your Honor, there initially was a single-count indictment. There was a superseding indictment, and ultimately the case was resolved with a plea to count three of the indictment.
There were multiple counts. Yes. Some counts were dismissed.
Yes, Your Honor. The defendant pled guilty to count three, which was a receipt of child pornography. The indictment charged as a whole one count of distribution, three counts of receipt. I think it's also, the other thing that I want to point out is it's very important to focus on the serious nature of the offense in this case. And from the government's perspective, it was plainly unreasonable for Judge Adelman to essentially credit the defendant for not having committed a worse offense in this matter. In mitigating the offense he actually committed, the judge notes that, there's no evidence that he had hands-on abuse of children or that he solicited children or produced these images. And that is legally beside the point from the government's perspective. That's present in virtually every case. It's almost always possible to say things could have been worse, and that in and of itself doesn't mitigate the actual offense. I see I'm running out of time. I'm going to step down. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Ms. Joseph?
Good morning. May it please the court, Nancy Joseph for Robert Wachowiak. Your Honors, I ask this court to defer and affirm the sentencing court's decision in this case because he did exactly what Booker requires of him, exactly what 3553A requires of him, and exactly what this court's precedents require of him.
Problem I have here is that there are four district judges in the Eastern District, and I think this case submitted to all four would result in different sentences for each one. Each judge would look at this a little differently. Some have a different temperature on cases like this, and some don't. So I mean, it's hard for me to see that your sentence ought to be so determined by what judge you draw in the district. And unless the guidelines, perhaps not viewed as mandatory, but at least as strongly suggestive of what the sentence ought to be, is a better way to get some uniformity in these cases. Maybe you disagree with me, but I have a hard time believing that all the judges in this district would look at this case and come out with a sentence of 70 months, 151 months below the guideline range.
As I understand the court's concern, I think it's a concern that was expressed in Booker itself, that there's a tension between advisory sentencing and uniformity. And the answer to that is having appellate review for the court to review it for reasonableness, 3553A itself to check that the court has given a sentence that is logical, consistent, and in conformity with 3553A, where different judges in the Eastern District, and maybe each of you on the panel may have given a different sentence, it does not mean that the sentence that this judge chose is unreasonable.
Well, what here is so out of the ordinary for one of these child pornography cases? And personally, I've seen these things where people get 100 years, and I mean, just they're all over the place. Well, what here is so unusual that would justify a huge reduction?
I think what the district judge looked at several factors. Actually, he looked at all the 3553A factors that were relevant, and he was impressed by a lot of things about this defendant, starting with 3553A1 factors, the characters of the defendant, that the judge found to be outstanding. He cited to the character reference letters received from family members, from teachers, from girlfriends, mothers of girlfriends. He cited to the sincerity of the efforts that this defendant was taking to get treatment and to change. It seemed to me from his oral explanation as well as his written explanation, he was particularly impressed with this defendant's remorse and level of insightfulness into the harm caused by his crime and expressing empathy for the victims in this case, and also even just having the insight to recognize that child pornography is not a victimless crime. So those are some of the things that impressed the judge. Some of them are very similar to what impressed the sentencing judge at United States versus Baker, another child pornography case in this district where the court cited to some of these positive characteristics traits and going below the guideline sentence. And this court affirmed it, saying that the sentencing judge grounded his decision in 3553A, and that is what is required of the sentencing judge. The benchmark, while the guidelines remain important in sentencing, but the guideline is not the benchmark. The guideline is one of the many factors in 3553 that a sentencing judge has to take into account.
That's funny. We were talking about guidelines and pre-guidelines, post-guidelines, and all that. Before the guidelines, I know in this district, in Northern District of Illinois, they had sentencing councils where the district judges would get together and discuss sentencings in particular cases. This could be one example of that. And so you get more of a consensus of what the judges think a proper sentence would be in a case like this. Now we don't have that, of course, but I just can't get away from this idea that it all determines, your sentence is so determined on the particular views of an individual judge in a case like this.
Well, Judge, you mentioned sentencing counsel. I think, as you know, there's no more sentencing counsel, but what the judges have in, I guess they get counsel from the guidelines. They also get counsel from the probation department by way of recommendation. And one of the things that was very unusual in this case, even post-Booker, is that the sentencing, the probation office recommended a sentence well below the guideline. The pre-sentence writer, who was the person who actually supervised Mr. Wokolbiak during the pendency of the case, recommended
That recommendation?
60 months, Your Honor. And that person's supervisor recommended a sentence of 84 months. So even there, looking at those numbers and looking at a reasonable sentence as being what this court has called a range of sentences, not just a point, but a range, Judge Edelman's sentence is well within that range of between 60 and 84 months. My light is on. I'm not sure.
You're not out of time until the red light's on, Ms. Wagon.
Good. I think what I also want to highlight this morning is that this circuit does not have a dual standard for below guideline sentence and upward sentence. The standard is the same. It's deferential, and it should be applied here. This circuit does not have a dual inquiry on reasonableness, whether it's below or above. The government has defended, and this court has affirmed, several above-guideline sentences. For example, United States versus Jordan. In that case, traveling in interstate for purpose of having sex with a minor, the district court went 103 months above the guideline sentence. The district court tied his reasons for going above under 3553A factors. The government defended that, and this court affirmed it because it was well-grounded there. Likewise, in United States versus Johnson, a possession of child pornography case, the district court went three times above the high end of the guideline. The government defended that sentence as reasonable, even though it was three times above the guidelines. And this court affirmed it because the district court grounded and explained his reasons as tied to the 3553A factors. In this case, the judge did precisely that. The judge chose the sentence, explained the sentence, and the sentence was well-grounded in the facts of this case. For those reasons, I ask this court to affirm that sentence and defer to the sentencing judge, who is uniquely positioned to sentence, and not the appellate court.
Thank you, Ms. Joseph. You have 1 minute.
Your Honors, I'll be brief. The government is for consistency as well. And whether a particular sentence is above the advisory guideline range or well below the advisory guideline range in this case, consistency requires also that this court follow its precedent in Dean and Lawful and Makitiuk, although I always butcher the pronunciation of that case, and that is that the farther that a case strays, either upwards or downwards, from that presumptively reasonable guideline range, the more and more compelling reasons that a district court must set forth in the record as a rationale for its sentence. And in this case, there is just nothing in the record that meaningfully distinguishes Mr. Wokolbiak from any other similarly situated defendant. And I think, Judge Evans, you're right that in the Eastern District of Wisconsin, there is a disparity post-Booker in sentences. And
I don't think it's limited to the Eastern District of Wisconsin.
And I don't practice outside of the...
I just said because that's the district. Both of you have your offices in the same building in the Eastern District of Wisconsin, and it's the district I'm most familiar with. But I think this is a situation that's repeated all over the country.
Except the Eastern District of Wisconsin is always suspect in this regard.
All right. I see
spoken
my time.
Spoken like a Hoosier.
I see my time is up. I thank you for your consideration.
Thanks to both counsel for a very good argument. The case will be taken under advisement.